Today we have the privilege of studying Yeshaya Perek Nun Vav, chapter 56. This chapter contains some 12 verses, the first 8 of which are part of the Haftarah for Fast Days. The Haftarah for Fast Days begins in chapter 55, verse 6, and continues on until chapter 56, verse 8. So the first 8 verses of today's chapter are part of the Haftarah for Fast Days. The largest theme in these 8 verses is the question of what is God's attitude and what is the Jew's attitude towards converts. That seems like a very interesting and unusual question to be dealt with on a fast day. But as we will see, there are certain themes that are exposed through this question that are uniquely and importantly relevant to the question of what we are doing on a fast day. Now, what is the historical context of a Haftarah which deals largely with attitude towards converts? Interestingly, the idea of converts at this time is one we find expressed most clearly in Megillat Esther, which usually does not provide us with a lot of historical background. Here it does. Megillat Esther, in chapter 8 and in chapter 9, at the end of both chapters, mentions the idea of converts coming from various other nations to join the Jewish people. As the Megillah says, "V'rabim me'amei ha'aretz mityahadim," many of the nations of the land are becoming Jews. People are joining the Jewish people out of a fear of the Jews' ascension, seeing that the Jews have become more powerful in the Persian Empire as a result of the downfall of Haman, and seeking to give themselves some closeness to this people of power, to the Jewish people. Now, who are these converts? According to our Haftarah, at least some of them are Sarisim. Sarisim literally means eunuch. And Saris can mean one of two things. It can either mean an official in the Persian and earlier in the Babylonian and earlier than that in the Assyrian royal administration, or it can mean a man who has had a surgical procedure done so that he cannot bear children. There's a certain link here between these two groups because, as we see in the Megillat Esther, people who were eunuchs were often appointed as officers in the Persian administration to be in charge of the royal harem and to guard the king's wives, the idea being that someone who had been surgically castrated would not interfere with the king's wives in any way or act inappropriately toward them. And so many of the people who are seeking to join the Jewish people are themselves Sarisim, or eunuchs. What should the attitude of the Jewish people and of God be towards these very strange converts who seek to join the Jewish people and yet will not have children who will themselves be members of the Jewish people? So these are some of the issues that are dealt with in this Haftarah, which we will now begin. Perek Nun Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Ko amar Hashem, shimru mishpat va'asu tzedaka, ki krova yeshuati lavo v'tzidkati lehigalot. So says God, guard justice, do righteousness, because my salvation is near to come, and my victory will appear. The word tzedakah is used in these chapters repeatedly in parallel with Yeshua, and tzedakah here seems to mean victory. So my victory, do justice and guard justice and do righteousness, because God's salvation is near, because his victory will appear. Well, what is the logic here? It's quite apparent. God's victory is near. His salvation will appear. God will come and save people. The day of judgment, of God's appearance and involvement in the world is approaching. Therefore, it is incumbent upon you to do justice and to act to guard justice and to act with righteousness, in order that you be judged properly when God comes and saves people and acts in a way that shows his victory over the world. So that God's involvement in the world is coming near, and it behooves you to act appropriately. How ought you to act appropriately? That idea is expressed in Pasuk Bet. Ashrei enosh yaaseh zot uven adam yachazik ba, shomer shabbat mechalalo veshomer yado measot kol ra. Happy is the man who will do this, the person who will hold fast to this, guarding Shabbat from desecrating it, guarding his hand from doing anything evil. That is what a person ought to do in order to maintain his position so that he will be judged appropriately when God's day of judgment comes. the two ideas here, Shabbat on the one hand, and guarding one's hand from doing evil, reflect two sides of a person's actions. On the one hand, Shabbat here is the epitome of Ben Adam Lamakom, actions related to God. Shomer Yadomi Asot Korah, guarding one's hand from doing evil, which includes a whole realm of mitzvot, such as not lying, not stealing, not robbing, and so on. All of these actions are descriptions of Ben Adam Lemakom. So in order for a person to come out positively when God's salvation comes and when his victory appears, a person ought to be careful in terms of Ben Adam Lemakom, Shabbat, and in terms of actions towards other people, guarding one's hand from doing evil. Okay, that's very good. But we see that there's another result of the idea of Judgment Day being near, of God's salvation coming close, of God's victory appearing. As a result of that, many people, as we saw in Megillat Esther, want to join the Jewish people. We saw in Megillat Esther that when the Jews are ascendant, people seek to join the Jewish nation. What should be our attitude towards those people? That question is addressed in Pasuk Gimel. Ve'al yomar ben hanechar, hanilva el Hashem lemor, havdel yavdilani Hashem me'al amo. Ve'al yomar hasaris, hinani etziavesh. Let not the foreign person who joins God saying, let not the foreign person who joins God say, God has separated me from his people. Let the eunuch not say, behold, I am a dry tree. Here, these two groups of foreigners who join the Jewish people express concerns, and both of those concerns are here addressed. Let not the foreigner who joins God say, I am separated. In other words, the one who seeks to join is here pushed away by being separate, by saying, God has separated me. Let him not say that. Why? That question will be addressed shortly. But let the one who joins God's people not say, God has separated me from his people. Similarly, let the eunuch, the saris, not say, I am a dry tree, I will not have progeny, I will not have a future. Let him not say that. Why? Because the idea of his progeny is expressed in the next verse. Pasuk 4. Kicho amar Hashem, lasarisim asher yishmeru et shabbatotai, uvacharu ba'asher chafatzti, umachazikim bivriti. Because thus says Hashem to the eunuchs who guard my Shabbatot, choose that which I desire, and hold fast to my covenant. What will God say unto them? What is their fate? That issue of the Sarisim is addressed in the very next verse. V'natati lahem beveiti uvechomotai yad vashem, tov mi banim umi banot, shem olam eten lo, asher lo yikaret. I shall give them in my own house and in my own walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. An eternal name I will give them, which will not be cut off. So here the eunuch, who fears that he is about to be cut off from having any memorial of himself after this, that he will not have children, no one will remember his name after he dies, is being reassured that he will have in God's house a memorial and a name, a Yad Vashem, which will be better than his having sons and daughters. An eternal name God will give him, which will not be cut off. Now it's important in understanding this pasuk to understand what the meaning of the words Yad Vashem are here. Yad refers to not only a hand, but also to a monument. We find this in the stories in Sefer Shmuel several times, where various kings establish for themselves a Yad in order to serve as a memorial for themselves after they die. Shaul HaMelech establishes a Yad to serve as a memorial of his military accomplishments. Avshalom, we know, says, I have no son to carry on my name, and therefore Avshalom establishes for himself a monument, a Yad. And so Yad is a monument which serves as a memorial of the king's accomplishments after the king is dead, in a way that is substitute for his children speaking of his accomplishments. So too, a shem here does not refer to a name only, but refers to the name that lives on in one's progeny, the family name living on. This, of course, does not refer to a family name like Goldberg, Steinberg, Ohio, etc. Rather, the name here refers to the idea that one is called by one's father's name. For example, in Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimei ben Kish, one keeps as part of one's genealogy the patronymic, the mention of one's father's name, and that continues to be part of one's identity, and then that way one's father and grandfather and great-grandfather's names are kept alive. And so the eunuchs have neither of these. They have neither children nor any physical memorial. And God is assuring them here, I will give them a memorial in my own house, which would be better than any memorial which sons or daughters could provide. Question is, what is the shape of this physical memorial? Is one which the psukim here do not address. But the Radak does mention some possibility of understanding this pasuk without necessarily taking it as a reference to a physical memorial. He mentions that there will be a memorial in the house, namely the Beit HaMikdash, and in God's walls, namely the walls of the temple. Kishama yimatzu ha-chachamim tamid, because in the temple are found the chachamim at all times. V'yizkiru ma'aseh ha-chasidim ha-shehem bizmanam v'she'avru. The chachamim, who are located in the temple courts, will mention the acts of those righteous individuals who came in previous generations, who sought to join the Jewish people, and in that way, by mentioning their acts, they will have a memorial which will be better than sons and daughters. So it is not necessarily a physical monument or a donor plaque within the Beit HaMikdash, but rather the mention of their righteousness within the Beit HaMikdash, which will serve as a memorial for their accomplishments. Pasuk Vav. Now we go back to the idea of those who seek to join God and yet feel themselves to be distant. Uvnei ha-nechar, ha-nilvim al Hashem l'sharato, u-la-ahava et shem Hashem liot lo la-avadim, kol shomer shabbat nechalalo machazikim bivriti. So this refers to the foreigners who seek to join God, to serve Him, to love the name of God, to be servants to Him. All those who guard Shabbat from desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant. So what will be the fate of these people? The Navi asks. These are people who on the one hand seek to join God, on the other hand see themselves as very distant from God. They claim God says to them, you are separated. And yet they themselves seek very much to join God, to be part of the Jewish people, and not only to be part of the Jewish people, but to act in the sense as Leviim. They seek to serve God, l'sharet, in the Beit HaMikdash. What should be their status? Well, the Navi gives a suggestion here, what it is that they have to do. Kol shomer Shabbat mechalelo u'machazikim bivriti. They ought to guard Shabbat from desecrating it. They ought to hold fast to my covenant. It is through the acts of guarding Shabbat and holding fast to the rest of the covenant that these converts can attain a certain status, equal in it at least, or even perhaps even superior, to the status of Leviim. Yes, they may not have the genealogy which will allow them to serve in the Beit HaMikdash, but yet they nevertheless can achieve closeness to God by keeping His laws. And so that the Navi first addresses the fear of converts who don't have a future Jewish progeny, and then he addresses the concerns of converts who don't have a past, who don't have a Jewish ancestry, who don't have a Jewish patronymic. To all of these people, the Navi addresses Pasuk Zayin, but most specifically to those who are scared about their lack of yichus, their lack of Jewish descent. Yet the Navi says, if you keep Shabbat, if you guard your covenant, what will happen to you? Pasuk Zayin. V'haviyotim el har kodshi v'simachtim b'veit tefilati. I will bring them into my holy, to my holy mountain. I will cause them to rejoice in my house, in my house of prayer. Their sacrifices and their offerings will be received positively on my altar. Why? Because my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Now this idea of the house of God being a house of prayer for all nations is not meant to imply that these converts are somehow still members of their previous nation and are somehow not members of the Jewish people, but rather that these converts are being brought into the temple courtyards and their sacrifices are being accepted just as sacrifices of Jews might be. More specifically, their sacrificial acts are being in some ways compared to the sacrificial activity of Kohanim and Leviim. The Kohanim and Levim are the ones who actually enter the temple courtyards. But here God is saying to these people, I will bring you too into my temple courtyards. The fact that you do not have priestly descent will not be a barrier to my receiving your offerings. While it is true that, of course, Jews and even Gentiles can bring offerings, there is a certain cachet or respect that is accorded to Kohanim and Levim because they are the ones who come closest to the Mizbeach. And God says to those to these converts who are concerned about their lack of ancestry, I will bring you into the temple, I will make you close to the Mizbeach, you will have privileges that are at least equal to those of the Kohanim and Levim. Now, is this a plausible vision? Ne'um Hashpasukhet, Ne'um Hashem Elokim Mekabetz Nidchei Yisrael, Od Akabetz Alav Lenikbat Zahav. The word of the Lord God, who gathers the scattered of Israel, I will once again gather you, in addition to those I have already gathered. And the Mefarshim here on this Pasuk understand the idea of once again I will gather you in addition to those whom I have previously gathered. In other words, the first gathering is that the gathering of the Jewish of the people of Jewish descent. The second gathering is the gathering of those who are now seeking to join the Jewish people, who are becoming members of the Jewish people. The first gathering is a physical gathering of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. The second gathering is the gathering together of the converts and causing them to become members of the Jewish people. As Rashi says, Nosafim al Kvutzei Israel. The converts will be, in addition to those whom God caused to come into the land of Israel from the Jewish people, God will also gather the converts into the Jewish people. So there's the first gathering geographic of the Jews, a second gathering spiritual in the sense of the converts. The parak concludes with several psukim which seem to mention the barking dogs. These barking dogs, who are mentioned at the end of the parak, seem to be equated by many of the mefarshim with false prophets. Why should this idea of false prophets follow this prophecy, and what does this all have to do with fast days? Part of the key message of this chapter is that a person's achievements when God will have his day of Yeshua and Stakam, God will have his day of salvation and victory, person's achievements will be measured not by their ancestry, nor by their progeny, but only by their own deeds. As the existentialist said, Lom esek yisafeh, a human is what he makes of himself. A person's value will be adjudicated by God according to what they have done, not according to their ancestors, not according to their descendants, but what they themselves have done. That is the key to God's evaluation of a person. Who better than a convert to exemplify this? Because a convert does not have Jewish ancestry on whom he can rely for ancestral merit. A convert is what he makes himself. And so too, the Navi is saying, are all people what they make of themselves. What about the idea of progeny? Do not rely on your progeny. Look at what you can make of yourself. That is the key idea of a fast day. A fast day is a day when we think about what we have accomplished, a day when we look back over our deeds, when we do cheshbon nefesh, when we consider whether what we have done is correct, and when we consider whether we ought to do tshuva, whether we ought to repent and correct our actions. That idea of focusing on the individual's own actions, not relying on ancestral merit, not relying on circumstances, but saying only, I have to focus on what I myself am doing, is the focus of a fast day. It is also the focus of this haftarah. It is the focus, and the haftarah uses the idea of a convert to exemplify this idea as a message to all Jews. How do false prophets fit into this? False prophets seek to assure people that they will have a positive future, even if they do not actually act positively. And so the idea of speaking out against the false prophets is a central part of the Navi's message here. And so the Navi focuses on the idea of the individual's actions as a determinant of their future. That idea is expressed in two psukim, which I will review here. The very first pasuk, Shimru Mishpat Vasut Tzedakah, guard justice, act righteousness, and what are the actions one is supposed to do? Pasuk Bet, Shomer Shabbat Mechalelo, guarding Shabbat from desecrating it,
v'shomer yado me'asot kol ra, and guarding his hand not to do any evil to other people, both in terms of ben adam lemakom, Shabbat, and in terms of actions towards other people, not harming anyone else.